Hello there, and welcome back to the Zero Credentials F1 podcast. We've got lots to talk about today because of the big disqualification of McLaren at the Las Vegas Grand Prix. I've got a question for you, Nelly, to kick us off. Is what on earth, or what the fuck, were McLaren thinking rolling the dice like that in Las Vegas? Let's go. So you're full screen. Give us your thoughts.
I've gone full papaya today as well. I was hoping for some fucking results, but they've right royally shafted themselves straight after the race. Skid blocks below the permissible wear limits. Both Lando and Oscar disqualified. Nil pois. And the outturn of that is that Lando retains his 24-point lead in the championship, but Oscar and Max are now second and third, respectively. I think Max get pushed down to third because of fewer race wins.
Yeah.
But they've gone and done a Ferrari and fucked themselves, really, haven't they?
They have. I'm feeling very frustrated about this race for a number of reasons. But I want to focus on McLaren just for a minute before we get into that, because I don't understand what they were doing. Like,
not today.
I guess they're pushing the limits, aren't they, to get up there? And it's such a shame, because I was thinking earlier this week when I was thinking about this, doing this video, is that I wanted to talk about the quite extraordinary mindset shift of Lando Norris, which is turning him into a world champion. And he did nothing wrong in this race. I think we should talk about that maybe in the next video. But he did nothing wrong and has then been disqualified. And his championship has been made more difficult. Like you say, the gap, the point between him and second place has not changed. But he's now got Max Verstappen up his chuffer.
And Max will be second now, minimum.
Yeah.
Oscar. Best he can hope for is third in the championship now, because with Max being so close, you can't see Oscar outperforming Max for the rest of the season in any of the races, even though the last two races do favour the McLaren. I think something in Oscar's head's gone.
Yeah, it's the lack of points he's scored since winning in Zandvoort is quite extraordinary.
He's had the car performance though, but
we've not seen a collapse like that since Friday when England were batting against Australia. Was it Saturday?
Yeah,
it was Friday, wasn't it? During the race, right? Firstly, did you get up at 4 a.m.
No.
to watch the race?
No. So I was avoiding all forms of media because I had some things to do earlier today. So I had to get up and hide from all forms of media. Yeah. Driving in the car in complete silence in case any sort of radio program came on with a news update. So I did manage to watch it in the early afternoon. Not too long ago from now. But yeah, I couldn't get up. I'd had a few beers last night. I was on the Guinness. I was far too cozy. I was toasty.
There's people watching this right now thinking, these guys are not true F1 fans. I got up, I didn't. I watched it in bed on the laptop.
That's still fucking a great effort.
But this is my frustration, right? During the race, I thought the race was a bit boring. Not a lot happened. It went round and round. Let's talk about the race a little bit, because I thought Lando's move into turn one was fair enough. I'm glad he did that, because I've seen people criticising him for that and saying he made a mistake at the start again. But if you switch that round, that when Max Verstappen was fighting for his first world championship against incumbent Lewis Hamilton, if he'd pulled that kind of move, everybody would have been going nuts about how great Verstappen aggression is, and people would have been loving it. And I think now Max is the incumbent and Lando is the guy chasing for that championship. I thought that was a solid, aggressive move.
Yeah, I mean,
if he'd braked like half a second earlier, he would have still been in front and he'd have got around that corner.
But at least he tried. We've been critical of Lando for a large chunk of the season for not being aggressive enough.
Yeah.
And I am delighted that he made that attempted move. He was very aggressive off the line, and Max had a better start, so he tried to cut his nose off, which he did relatively successfully. He just mistimed it by a fraction of a second.
Yeah.
And I'd sooner see him make those attempts and fail than not make those attempts at all.
Yes.
I think it's more of a mindset.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's the mindset shift, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's tried that kind of thing before, but...
Well, he's been slightly passive, and if you're passive, 1% passive against it, you'll get hurt or something really bad will happen. But he went for it.
What was also different as well is that having done that and it not worked out, he didn't panic.
Yeah.
He just slotted back into that kind of mindset he's had recently of just solid laps, solid pace, which he's always had. He just hasn't always deployed it after having a little setback.
Yeah.
Whereas all the great champions in the past, they have a setback and they come back stronger. Yeah. And they have a setback and they deal with it and keep on going. And that's exactly what Lando did. And it was a second place that was pretty solid. It would have set him up so nicely.
All he has to do for the rest of the season now is keep Max in sight, as in be a place or two behind him and be ahead of Oscar. That's all he has to do to get it across.
I mean, the fact is that if he outscores both of them next week, he'll win the championship next week.
Yeah.
On Sunday. It can't be concluded after the sprint race, I don't think. But if he outscores over the weekend, outscores Verstappen and Piastri next week, he wins.
He's got every chance.
It's just frustrating because he did everything right, I thought. And you could tell when they had that issue towards the end. I think they probably knew the plank was getting too low.
Mm.
And I was thinking at one point, because I saw Piastri's car, he was doing an overtake or... maybe getting overtaken by somebody himself. Maybe, I can't remember. But I thought at one point his car was broken.
Yeah, it was excessively sparking, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was so low.
Yeah.
And that was in the braking zone as well. So, I mean, they'd obviously just bet the house on it being all right. And I think that their mitigating circumstances in the
they were hilarious.
Stewards was like... Yeah, just like, oh, yeah, unforeseen circumstances, more porpoising than we realised.
Yeah. It rained a bit, but not actually acknowledging the fact that all the teams were in exactly the same position and still managed to set up their cars correctly. And I agree with you. I thought his car was broken because there was such an excessive amount of sparking. I thought he'd actually caught a piece of somebody else's bodywork underneath him because it looked so aggressive. It made sense. Actually, during the race footage itself, the drop-off in Lando's pace, I was more worried about coming in under-fueled.
Yeah.
At the end, because he was tiptoeing.
That's what everybody thought it was.
Yeah.
But I suspect it might have been that they knew he needs... But to keep
you've been gunning it for 47 laps, and the last three laps you go, ooh, I've probably gone a bit heavy on my...
Yeah, exactly. Because you know, if it's fuel, you know you're lifting and coasting.
Yeah.
You're not like losing 3 seconds a lap, are you?
Do you think that's what his race engineer was? Because he said to him at one point quite tersely, "Do more of that, or do it better."
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
And
just do more.
Maybe that was code for go easier on your undercarriage because there won't be much of it left when it comes to scrutineering.
To keep the gambling kind of analogies going, what McLaren have done, I think, is they thought, well, right, we'll just try and make the most of this. We'll put $10 on black. No, $1 million on black, and we'll put $1 million on red, and it's come in green for zero. You know, that's what's happened. Yeah. That's literally what's happened.
Yeah.
Absolute idiots.
It is. They didn't need to. They didn't need to take a chance.
A fourth and a fifth.
Yeah.
Would have been fine, wouldn't it? It would have been absolutely fine because they're probably going to be strong in the last two races.
They've screwed Oscar now, by extension as well. Because
I mean, his championship's done, isn't it?
Yeah, it has to be. Has to be. It's between Max and Lando now, and that's it. And it's, but yeah, they've done something a bit Ferrari-esque, it feels like. It's self-harm. It's all, it's no disrespect to the FIA or the scrutineering or anything to do with that. It's, they're completely bang out of order. They were caught. I don't think it was sinister, but they were caught out to do it. And to be fair, they should be building in tolerances, because what they can't afford is DNFs, or the points equivalent to a DNF. They've damaged themselves.
That was the one thing they needed to avoid. It is very Ferrari.
What can definitely not happen? Both cars don't score anything, right? that's the only thing we need to avoid. Fuck.
Oh, jeez. It's so frustrating. Another frustration I've got, though, is that the fact this disqualification happened, it feels like a buzzkill. You get robbed of your decision, especially when they took so long. Although, did you see, I don't totally blame the stewards in the FIA for taking so long, because did you see how small it was? It was about like 0.02 of a millimetre below, wasn't it?
Well, the minimum you're allowed to come back with is 9 mil, is that
right? It is 9, yeah. And it was like 8.88 or something on Lando's car, I think.
To be fair, with the tolerances of the measuring equipment they use, it's black and white.
It was like down to 0.001 or something. Yeah. How accurate these... It's obviously a laser thing, isn't it? But yeah, the fact that that's now happened, a disqualification based on the plank, has now happened six or seven times this season. And then obviously happened to Mercedes in 2023 with Lewis in America.
Yeah.
I hate these regulations. Hate them. And it was part of my frustration during the race while it was on, is that it's the same thing we've seen over and over and over again, is that you get it becomes processional. All the cars are so close. The DRS is not as effective as it maybe should be. Mm. And you get these gaps of about 6 or 7 seconds opening up between all the front runners. So there's just no action up at the front. And that was kind of the case in this race.
It was.
Thankfully, it didn't last. It only lasted about 90 minutes. But I just think these regulations are shit. And the way the downforce is created with the plank and everything and the floor, they have to run so low to the ground. So it incentivizes the team to risk these kind of issues. So it's partly the regulations that are to blame. Obviously, McLaren, like you said, the FIA have done the right thing because the rules are the rules. But the rules are shit.
The rules are shit because teams, if they bring a plank back, and I don't know what a plank starts off at, but let's say it's 2 centimetres. If they bring it back as 1.5 centimetres relative to the 0.9 that they're allowed, someone's getting their ass kicked. So they're incentivized to go as close to the margin as they dare, and sometimes they will step over the margin. But
that's the thing. You're right, but it shouldn't be down to the teams to do that. That's,
I agree.
That pushing it to the margin should be the driver's job. It shouldn't be like a decision the teams are having to make week in, week out, and it's all different at every single track. We want that fine margin to be driver's skill, don't we? We don't want it to be teams doing stuff different in each setup. It's like a setup lottery, like we talked about. Spin the bloody setup roulette wheel and hope for the best.
Well, this is it. In that respect, some of the drivers are passengers, essentially, in the vehicles. Yeah. They can have a limited amount of input, enough input, but not as much as we would like to see as true racing fans. And there is too much influence of the car relative to the driver.
It's been one of the most car-led seasons that I can ever remember.
Yeah.
And it's a buzzkill. And I'm a bit bearish on next year at the moment. Like, I'm worried about it. The battery.
Do you think it's more tinkering,
more
fiddling?
The battery nonsense we're going to suffer through next year.
Yeah.
I hope it'll just result in some good racing and that the drivers can have a big difference on it, because at the moment, I think it's limited of what the drivers can do.
But there's they're bringing active downforce as well. So somebody will be stood there with a laser making sure that the downforce deflection in the automated systems for the front and rear wing haven't gone past 0.01% of a tolerated margin and all that. So it brings in, exactly, it brings in more opportunity for them to fuck around with our shit and change results. I mean, how do you think Lando felt going up there? No driver wants to go up there, pick up a trophy on the podium and be told later on. Equally, the person who gets it, George Russell in this case, and Kimi Antonelli, get their... oh, no, it's not Kimi.
No, it was Kimi.
No, was... did he? No, yeah, sorry, but he got robbed of an appearance
on the...
On the podium, yeah.
On the podium, though, didn't he?
Yeah, and to be handed it afterwards and say, oh, by the way, we did our sums and somebody fucked up. There you go. It's not the same sort of buzz. It's not the same sort of...
No.
And it'll go down in the history books, but...
They don't feel it.
Yeah.
They are not the sporting moments.
No, that not at all.
We're hoping for, are they?
They're not stinking of champagne right now, and they really should be. They're not sticky. I want to be sticky. Oh, that's what the FIA should do. Here's your trophy, and now we're going to make you sticky.
Yeah. I feel frustrated. There's another reason I feel frustrated.
Go on.
Is that the disqualifications have led to bad things for you,
Lowe,
in our prediction championship.
Now I know what's coming.
You revealed the trophy on the last video.
I did. I don't think we've got much of it in shot, to be fair.
The goat trophy. Let's have a look at the predictions that we made this week. I was feeling real confident about this. And even in practice, I thought Lewis Hamilton at third is looking pretty good. Pretty confident about that. George was looking good. But
quali didn't go well for Lewis.
No, it didn't. We can talk about Lewis in a minute, I reckon. But let's just spin this on. So they're the predictions we made. Well, I won't read through them. If you're on YouTube, you can see them. So Whites was winning with 24 points. I was on 18, you on 15.
Mm.
Thanks to the disqualifications. And if we just go back a sec, I'm proud of myself for that fifth of Kimi Antonelli. That prediction was bang on at the end of the race.
Mm.
And I've been robbed. I've been robbed. And Whites has been gifted 4 points by the FIA.
Mm-mm. That's filthy, that, isn't
He's
it?
He's gone from 24 to 28. He's now got a 10-point lead with two races left.
Well...
He's got one hand on that trophy.
The FIA like to do things to go racing with Max. And Whites is a Max fanboy, so he's probably balls deep with the FIA as well. So he might have been on the blower. That's why it took so long. He was on the blower to... the president of the FIA saying, no, this won't do.
Yeah.
I haven't got nearly enough points this week.
The other thing about the disqualifications as well and all this sort of nonsense that these cars seem to create is that it's overshadowed yet another spectacular performance by Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
In what is like... let's say that Lando does win the championship. It will be a phenomenal achievement. But some of the stuff Max has done this year has been off the scale brilliant, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, McLaren was consistent in the early half of the season, but I would dare to say not exciting, but Max has done some truly exciting and incredible things this season. You're shining with the headlines.
One thing I am excited about next year is let's assume that Lando does win the championship. I think he's going to... I think once, like we saw with Max, once he'd won that first championship, hashtag been given the championship in 2021, he just relaxed, didn't he? It changed him. And then he just became
the Max monkey's off your back then.
Yeah.
Like the stress. You think then and only then I belong in F1 and I am here and I deserve it.
Absolutely.
And yes, it does change your mindset and your sense of entitlement and actually your confidence in terms of taking risks because teams look at you differently.
Yeah, I know I can do this because I've done it once before.
Yeah, teams, it's the difference between before you won a title, if you bin your car into the wall in practice, you say sorry to the team. If you've done that after you've won a world title, you say, why have you handed me this piece of shit, you bunch of fucking idiots?
Yeah.
It's the mindset. It's completely different. You don't give a fuck about that once you're the world champion. You start making demands.
And I think Lando will do that as well.
Yeah, I hope
and
so.
I think we'll see his true talent that we've never questioned. Actually, we've always said he's got the raw pace, but as soon as that mindset shift has happened, I think we're going to see something special next year. But let's talk about Ferrari, because they had some controversy in the week with John Elkann, the boss of Ferrari, saying that the drivers just need to shut up and drive. Lewis obviously doesn't give a shit about that.
He's taking no notice of that fucking thing.
Yeah, and he's talking after this race, saying it's the worst season he's ever had. Like, he's not looking forward to next season, which obviously indicates that engine, Ferrari engine, is an absolute stinker.
Mm.
He obviously hates these regulations just as much as I do. And Charles has been a bit more diplomatic because he hasn't won a world championship.
Exactly,
yet.
And he needs to be, yeah.
Yeah. He hasn't got the sort of fuck you championships yet, like Lewis does. And but he's clearly not too confident either.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it was just too many mistakes. I think they haven't got frustratingly, they've got a car that can perform in very, very short windows. I think Charles looked pretty lively today in the race, at least for certain periods of it. Looked pretty decent in quality, to be fair.
They were both strong in the first half of the race.
Yeah.
But they were on separate tyres. Charles was on the mediums, looked strong. Lewis was on the hards, looked really strong. And halfway through the race, they pitted, swapped tyres, and they've both gone off. Lewis had no pace at the end.
And that should be the time the car comes alive with the reduced fuel and...
Yeah, and stickier tyres.
Yeah.
But the same happened to Charles, didn't it? Even though his tyre strategy was the opposite way around, his pace died off as well. He was nowhere, was he? Mm. Like, it's...
No, mate, I think in general, though, I was... You know, Lewis rescued a dog of a weekend. Obviously, the qualifying incident, waved yellows, he had to lift, didn't get to the line in time, but actually, build yourself more of a margin, Ferrari. Give yourself 10 seconds to get to the line rather than just... on the button and factor in the fact that this site, this track is known for incidents. It's got the street circuit feel to it, and if somebody gets into trouble, it's going to be on the track and it's going to be difficult to get them out of the way. But to get from 19th to 8th, notwithstanding the two disqualifications, even, you know, he was in the points at 10th as the checkered flag went down. It was a decent... it's a performance that car should have been doing anyway, but it's a bit of a rescued weekend for him.
Yeah, I don't think he's clearly not very happy. Another thing that I'm excited for next year is seeing what the Audi team do.
Yes.
When Sauber turned into Audi. Because Hülkenberg put in another great performance.
Mm.
Another absolute shocker, though, for Bortoletto, wasn't it?
Yeah,
did you see his move into turn one?
Yeah.
Did you see it from the onboard?
Yeah.
It's just like, that's like when I first started playing F1 on the PlayStation, that was the sort of move I'd pull off.
Banzai shit.
Yeah, but like you just click like the start button and rewind and do it again. he doesn't have that privilege.
It was
insane. I don't know what he was thinking. That's 2 weeks in a row he's had an absolute shocker.
Yeah, that probably speaks to his maturity in the car. I mean, he has, overall in the season, he's performed pretty well, but that was a bit of a stinker from him. And he cleared out a few of them on the way. But he's got to hold his hands up to that.
I mean, at least it was only Lance Stroll that he took out, though.
Like, I was terrified because at some point through quali, Lance was looking really, really good. Or at least up the timesheets. I was thinking no, but then true enough to form.
Because they dried, dried out.
Standard.
You can only drive in the wet. You can't drive. If it's dry, he's got no chance.
Yeah. Daddy, can you pay for it to rain? I wonder if he can do some of that. I'm delighted in general for Kimi Antonelli as well. I thought when he was being chased down by Oscar and, was it Leclerc?
Possibly.
I thought that was brilliant. He was holding them off. They both had DRS. I mean, it spoke to the fact that DRS was pretty ineffectual.
Another slight frustration I have, since I'm feeling frustrated and sharing it, is that at one point towards the end of the race, Antonelli was the fastest man on track on tyres that he'd had on since lap two. They were like something like 46 laps old, and he was like the fastest man out on track. It's like the tyres should not be lasting that long. That kind of tyre life.
He has no right to be doing that.
That's not making exciting racing, is it? When you can just put pit on a set of softs, dump them off.
I mean, just sandbagging for so much else of the rest of the time, isn't it? He must have been sandbagging or just managing pace, which is the most boring form of racing that there is.
Yeah, and there's no doubt it was a great performance from him. There's no doubt he's found something recently, hasn't he? He's clicked.
Yeah.
And that's quite exciting. I think he's caught up with George, like, massively.
Yeah, yeah. But he did the team game as well. I don't think he did. He was just doing it.
Yeah, they were saying that on commentary.
Himself. Yeah.
They said that on commentary, but I don't think it was, because he was never going to get another 11 seconds up the road or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I thought he was just doing his own thing. But that just happened to be also helping George out. Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily a team game. He was racing for his own position.
Yeah, decent showing from the rest of the field, though.
Yeah. Tell me, who did you find?
Well, Hadjar had a quiet highlights. Race, but he was up there. Carlos Sainz, everyone loves Carlos Sainz, as we constantly say. And it was nice for him to bring it home in fifth. Nico Hülkenberg, obviously a good result. To be fair, Ocon in the Haas, outperforming Behrmann as well, is a rarity these days.
Yeah, that's true.
Just the Haas being up there anyway. And I felt sorry for Liam Lawson, because he was in a decent position at the start of the race and it went completely pear-shaped for him. But not bad. I did love the Fonzie. Who was he having a little fight with at some point? They were going backwards and forwards trying to overtake.
It was Lewis, wasn't it?
It was Lewis. Yeah, that was it. When Lewis came out after the pits, that was nice. That was nice.
They didn't really show it all, though, did they, initially? Yeah. Like, the director didn't have a clue what they were doing.
Because
they're American, probably.
Behrmann was following them, and the commentary team were going, I bet Behrmann can't believe his luck, that he's battling behind Fonzie and Lewis. But then he got Fonzie, didn't he? Yeah, he got Fonzie just after that.
Yeah, that's all I've got.
What does it mean to the scores then? What were the scores? Are we on? What's he on now?
He's on 28, 10 points ahead. 10 points.
We're going to need to do a Max Verstappen, aren't we?
It's going to need to be something magical.
I literally can't score 15 points in the next two races, even if I get a perfect hit.
You are Oscar Piastri.
The GOAT's not coming to me. The GOAT is not coming to me. And once more, for the sweet souvenir. Real gold.
Give it a tap. Let me hear that gold.
Ping.
Pure gold. Again.
Ping.
Oh, it's just... Oh. It's so nice.
Wow. that's some high quality shit.
Yeah, I'm still excited about the season. I think I'm going to be really chuffed if Lando wins the championship. And I reckon my prediction is that it's going to happen next week in Qatar. I think he's going to outscore everybody, and he's going to bring it home in the Middle East.
Well, he's got a sprint race to do it. But I hope it's done and dusted next week. I'm excited for it, but actually, for the independent viewer, today's events have been quite exciting and brought the championship closer for everyone, converged everyone closer again. So exciting times.
Yeah. Cool. We'll be back on Tuesday or Wednesday, I think, with our Qatar preview. Got a busy couple of weeks, mate. We've got a busy couple of weeks with this triple header.
I know. And then,
we're there for you.
And then a winter break. We won't leave you hanging, though. We'll probably do something in the winter break.
If we could, yeah, we will.
If we can be asked.
No, we can be asked.
I'm feeling
the love from people. There's not enough people subscribed. So if you've got to this point in the video and you're not subscribed, like, what on earth are you doing? Why are you watching us for this long?
We're rocking real gold riches. Yeah. Real gold. Ping.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But we're here for you, your F1 weekend companions. And we'll see you again in a few days. Cheers, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.